Good morning. Happy Easter. My daughter, Rebecca, is fascinated with astronomy. So this past Christmas, we bought her a telescope. And the telescope came with an eyepiece. You kind of aim the telescope up at the sky, you put this eyepiece in, and you look through the eyepiece. And it was just incredible what we were able to see. The moon seemed so closer, and some of the kind of stars in the sky, some of the planets, you could see a little bit more clearly. It was a fascinating experience. It was nearly a spiritual experience. A couple of months later, in February, for Rebecca's birthday, we bought her a whole set of eyepieces. I would call them lenses. I'm not sure if they're lenses or eyepieces. I'm going to use the phrase eyepieces. And what you can do is you can take these various eyepieces, take one out, put another one in, take that one out, put another one in, and each eyepiece gives you different perspective, different, sometimes depth. Some of the eyepieces let you come really close to what you're seeing. Other eyepieces kind of pull back and give you more of a kind of a context of what you're seeing. Remember this one eyepiece we put in one night, and not only could we see the moon and see the surface of the moon, but we actually could see the craters of the moon and could see the shadow from the sun that was on the one part of the crater casting a shadow down over the crater. And this is unbelievable. It was just fascinating. Then we'd take that one out and put in another, and we could kind of see the planets and see Venus, I think it was we saw, and Saturn, and getting to see a little bit of those rings around, is it Saturn, I think, that has the rings? But we look up, and it's just amazing what we can see. Over these last few weeks, I've been thinking about that experience that Rebecca and I have had looking through her telescope, and it strikes me the richness of those eyepieces. How you look at the same thing, but they give you a different view, a different perspective of what you're looking at. And it struck me in our lives, as we walk our lives together, as we walk this journey together, how do we view the world around us? How do we view ourselves? Do we see everything for all of our lives through just one eyepiece? And see it just from that one eyepiece? And assume that everyone else sees it the same way. I assume that you have the same eyepiece I have. And that we see everything the same. Sometimes we can fall into that. And it struck me how important it is to see things in different ways, to look at the same thing, but to learn about it. Sometimes to look at it in depth, sometimes to pull back and see it in context, and everything in between, come to know what that means. As I prepared for some thoughts this day on Easter, that idea also strikes me. As we reflect upon this, particularly this past week of Holy Week, looking at the passion and crucifixion and death and resurrection of Jesus, how do we understand that? How do we see that? What eyepiece do we use to look at that and explain it and give it meaning in our lives? I'd like to suggest that many of us probably see the passion, crucifixion, death, and resurrection of Jesus in a similar way. One of the eyepieces, if I could use that phrase, one of the eyepieces that's been used to explain it to us, I would suggest is this. If I were to say to you, why did Jesus die on the cross? Most of us would probably respond with something like, well, Jesus died to save us from sin. Jesus was the sacrifice offered to God to take away our sins and give us new life. Jesus is the one who's taken away all of our sins. Does that sound somewhat familiar in the way we kind of describe that? That eyepiece, that way of explaining the suffering and crucifixion and death of Jesus and resurrection of Jesus came from the early church. It comes from the people at that time. You see, in the Hebrew Scriptures, in the Old Testament, people were learning who God is prior to even that time. You go back to ancient peoples, people who believed in God or gods or many gods. The typical human's perception of God was that God is vengeful. God is angry. God is someone to be feared. And people developed in their lives this way of offering sacrifice to the gods, to make the gods like us, to be good in the eyes of God, to offer sacrifice, to do things. But the Hebrew people, we see the Hebrew people in the Hebrew scriptures, in the Old Testament, beginning to come to know God in a new way. And it takes hundreds and hundreds of years. But they're learning who this God is. How often do we hear in Scripture, when God reveals God's self to humanity, do we hear God saying words like, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid." How often do we hear that? Because people were coming from that sense of a fear of God. So as the Hebrew people develop in their understanding of God, they still have this tradition, though, of sacrifice. Of sacrificing animals, of sacrificing the lamb. The great feast of Passover is that sacrifice of the lamb that takes away our sins. And the whole religious tradition of Judaism, the temple in Jerusalem, was about offering sacrifice to take away our sins, so that God will care for us and love us again. It's really what's about behind a lot of that. And it spoke to those people. And so when Jesus suffers and dies on the cross, the people who come to follow Jesus begin to see and explain this through an eyepiece. And Jesus is explained as the one who was sacrificed to take away our sins, the one who took on all of our sins, and there's no need for sacrifice anymore. Jesus was that ultimate sacrifice to take away the sin of the world. We even refer to Jesus, even in our liturgy, as the Lamb of God, the Lamb that was sacrificed to take away our sins. Does that sound pretty familiar with how we understand the crucifixion, death, and resurrection? When I was growing up, I had great difficulties with that explanation. Because it seemed to me that as deep and as rich as that is, and it is a deep understanding, that somehow, why did God need this sacrifice to love me? Was there something I did? Why was that part of our tradition? I've always struggled with that, and perhaps I will for many more years to come. But in looking at the passion, crucifixion, death, and resurrection of Jesus, realize that in the early church, that explanation that I've just shared with you that we commonly understand was just one eyepiece. Just one eyepiece. It was one way of explaining. It seems in the early church there were actually a few ways of understanding the crucifixion and death and resurrection of Jesus. There was a variety of understandings. I would suggest to you it was at a time when the church, the early Christian church, was truly Catholic, truly able to encompass and embrace and envelop a diversity of understanding, and yet still hold together and walk the journey together. Oh, sure, there were some eyepieces, let's be honest, there were some eyepieces that the early church said, you know, those eyepieces distort what we're looking at. There were some that were not accepted, some that were considered to be not really, you're not looking at the same thing we're looking at. And the early church had to struggle with that. The community of faith had to come together and discern that. And those were difficult times. But even in the midst of that, there was still different understandings of what this meant. Now, I'd like to share with you this morning one of those, just one of them, to give you perhaps another eyepiece to look through as we look to this same experience of the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And it's this. The idea that Jesus is the sacrifice for us is what's called atonement theology. Atonement theology. There needs to be an atonement for what we have done or what we are about. And that theology, what's at the bottom of a lot of that theology, is the idea that we do something, we sacrifice something, or Jesus came to this earth to sacrifice himself on the cross to change God's opinion of humanity. Jesus died on the cross to change God's opinion of humanity. This other idea, though, is a much different approach. It comes from the early church. It's the idea that Jesus is this gracious, loving, and caring gift from God, given to humanity. This Jesus is this incredible gift given by God to humanity to show us who we are, to show us who we can become, to show us the vision that God has for us. And so we look to Jesus in many ways as an icon, as an image of who God is calling us to become. And the reality is, if we live into that giving and loving and caring and transforming Jesus, if we live into the life that he lived about bringing about the kingdom of God, and not only transforming our own lives, but transforming the world around us, if we live into that and walk as Jesus did, friends, it's going to lead us to the cross as well. There's no way we can avoid it. Because that kind of transforming love is such a challenge to our world. And Jesus faced that challenge. Jesus faced that challenge. And it brought him to the cross. And we too will face that challenge as well as we live into this life. And so in that kind of understanding, rather than Jesus sacrificing himself in order to change God's opinion of us, I would suggest this understanding is Jesus came among us to change our understanding of God. To realize this loving, caring, and gracious God who created us and gives us life, calls us to this vision, calls us to walk this way together. It's an incredible gift. An incredible gift. And that idea kind of speaks to me a bit. And again, this is not one is right, one is wrong. There's many ways of understanding this life of Jesus and the life of Paul too. And I find that variety to be enriching and to reflect upon and learn and understand new things. And so as we gather together today, consider new eyepieces. Consider sharing each other's lives together. Not to presume that we all see things the same way, but as we walk this journey together, following Jesus, that we see the same thing. As we look through that telescope, Rebecca and I looking through that telescope, see the same thing, but the eyepieces give us different perspectives, different contexts, different depth. Perhaps in our sharing our lives together, we can listen to each other. What's the eyepiece that you look through? How do you see things? Let me hear that and know about that. And you two share with me what I see and sharing my eyepiece. And together we walk this life together. Yes, it will lead to the cross. But this day, this Easter day, is a statement to us that the cross is not the end. That if we walk that life together, if we walk into the icon, the image of who we are called to be, by living as Jesus did, Easter is a reminder to us that even the cross, even the suffering will not defeat us. But that love and that kingdom and that transformation will continue and will live. Even death cannot destroy that. And even the suffering that we face cannot destroy that. Let us live into that life together. Let us give thanks to God for the gift of Jesus, for the icon, the image of Jesus is for us. And let us continue to walk together in faith, transforming ourselves and our lives, transforming our community here at St. Paul's, and most importantly, being a transforming presence to the world beyond us. Happy Easter.